Blog Talk Radio. Gleason. Since today, no, this is interesting. Today, May 8th, is the end of the war in Europe in World War II. Hitler allegedly, supposedly committed suicide.
Right.
Now, you know about Adolf Hitler.
Oh, the whole Eva Braun thing and the arc thingy and all that.
Right. Well, do you think, this is kind of tongue in cheek, do you think if he had been accepted into the Vienna art school, that he wouldn't have gotten into politics?
You know what? I'm going to argue one step further. I think Hitler remained an artist all the way till his death.
Ooh, that's going to upset some people. Why do you say that?
Okay, again, I'm looking at it from just the political way. If you actually have taken the time to look at Hitler's art prior to this interview, you would actually see that Hitler's art was very novice. He really had no artistic taught skill set, but he did have raw emotion. And at some point, people with emotion need a way to express it. And I think what happened with Hitler is he was a passionate person that at some point got introduced to public speaking. And that can be a huge power source. I think at some point Hitler's art became the ability to enthrall people. I mean,
you mean speaking and
yes, I mean, like,
as a public,
if you look at it,
I don't know what he got into.
All the evil aside, all the stuff he did, if you look at him as just as an artist, goddamn, motherfucker was a performance artist. He got up there in front of a pulpit and hyped people up and
became
a performance artist till the death. To the point that in his later years where he actually had like Parkinson's or something because of like some syphilis whore or something.
Right.
He went as
he had
far
a lot of psychosexual
to,
problems.
No, but he went as far as to like add to his costume the shawl he would wear so people wouldn't see the trend.
Right, right.
What do you call that other than a performance art? A magician would do that too. You know, I gotta hide the hand, you know. So instead, you know, yes, he was a politician, but in a weird way, he remained an artist till the end.
So a different type of artist, like on stage.
Evil, very evil artist.
Yeah,
but,
Germany
you know,
was a stage.
Basically, I mean, to an extent, the world was a stage. I mean,
that's a very different. Now, so you give me a different perspective. I never looked at it exactly that way, even though speech was a major of mine.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I mean, I can see how people. Because I mean, I've had some friends of mine who are performance artists, you know. And I can see why they get enthralled with it. And I can only imagine somebody with that need of attention and that passion, like somebody like Hitler, and then having no validation as an artist, and then getting all this random praise just for being able to talk.
Good point. Good point.
It feeds you, you know?
And let's contrast him. Are you familiar? Let me run some names by you.
Oh, that's true.
Winston Churchill painted.
Yes.
Eisenhower was learned to paint by numbers.
Eisenhower is a funny one, yeah.
Yeah. Now, get this. I just discovered when I was researching this that J. Edgar Hoover was one or two paintings. It was a Swiss scene. And also, I just did a radio program on his choice of music, which is very interesting. He used the Russian communist composer for one, and then he used Nazi, a guy who was associated with the Nazi, Strauss, for one of the films. And then, yeah, he was an anti-communist, so he said in all of this. But how do you, do you think that Churchill painted as a release from all the tension, all the political turmoil that he got involved in, because he went through three different political parties, liberal, conservative, and there was one other. And then he had the war, he was rejected, and then he became the wartime leader of Great Britain, and then after the war, in the first election, they threw him out. He went back to painting. And then Eisenhower took up painting, and then J. Edgar. So I'm going to put those up on my website.
Well, you know, I think humanity at its core, part of what makes us, or the species we are, is creativity. And I think great men under great stress, great people under great stress, find creative outlets. It allows the brain to make other connections. You know, if you're under a lot of stress and you're working all the time, you're thinking about speech patterns and stuff. That's how your brain's working. If you sit down to paint, that part relaxes and other connections can be made.
So is this the left side of the brain?
Yeah, I think it makes good connections. I mean, it's great stress relief to do painting and other stuff like that, you know? So I can see how people under great stress like that would go as far as saying, yeah.
So maybe we should prescribe for all these politicians and people in high-stress occupations, get something to relax you, like painting or music.
Music. I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but it is so relaxing. I mean, like, tell me there are not times in your lives when you were, like, going back to golden memories you have when you're like 14, kissing a girl, 16, your first real girlfriend, whatever. And even in the memories, in the back of your head, there's still like some sort of like song. It sounds flowery. We remember stuff creatively. We are creative people, so it's a great stress relief, you know? It's another way to run simulations.
Define simulations.
Well, think about it like this. Look, your brain is always active, even when you're asleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is dreaming other than running simulations? You know, like the first caveman, he must have dreamt about, you know, like, oh, there's shit, there's this tiger fucking coming after me. I gotta climb a tree. But what you don't understand is for the 6 hours that he actually spent asleep, his brain and all his muscles learn to react to that. He's running simulations. Art is kind of the same thing. You know, it's a way of tickling your brain. You run a simulation about, like, oh, what if I paint the Obama on top of the cross? Oh, that's funny to me. It tickled your brain. You know, you had this connection where religion is here, Obama's here, I never connect them. I made this painting, oh, I giggled, and then you show it to other people, and then censorship.
Well, it depends who you talk to, who you show it to.
No, but you know what I'm saying? So I think art's a great stress relief because of that. It allows different parts of the brain to connect and different ideas to come together and form.
Do you, okay, one final question. Do you think Americans really, since you've been in this country, 20 years or so, do you think Americans really appreciate art, or is it just too much commercialism?
You know what? I would have to say Americans don't appreciate artists. It's not so much the art. Commercialism will always take art, good art that is made, and just expose it to more and more people. And then we'll begin to hate it because we've seen it so many times. But America has no respect for the process it takes to make art, for the process that sometimes goes into packaging something, or even putting up a single billboard, or even graffiti artists, for the amount of passion and time and man-hours it takes to think of those ideas, to put them out there.
Since we're going along that line, do you think that, like in Canada, they give Canada grants to artists? I know a couple of them.
Man,
do you think the government should...
Hell yeah, where's my fucking Canada grant?
What do you think the government should... No, do it now. Here's the history for you if you don't know. If you haven't been down to the post office at the Rincon Annex and up to Coit Tower, during the Depression in the 30s, Franklin Roosevelt's administration had the Works Progress Administration where they funded artists to do these murals, and some of them are really beautiful. Do you think we should resume that for artists who are trying to make it, who have some talent?
Oh, definitely.
Or to encourage talent?
Most definitely. It's also to encourage talent, but it's also to introduce people to different cultures. You got to keep in mind, America's a big country. We take a huge chunk of this continent. And the more we can get these like culturally rich, like I said, neighborhoods and places expanded, the more it can help other people like understand the world, accept the world. So yeah, I mean, I would be glad to be sponsored, you know, on the fucking graffiti trek to Dakota. You know, like, that'd be great. I mean, I'd go tag on some barns, maybe get a cow up or something. It would be amazing. And, you know, I think these people would actually be amazed to see people being able to do that, you know, in the middle of the night. You know, they got crop circles, we got graffiti. Same thing, you know, happens in the middle of the night. Nobody knows how it was done. And then you just have to
deal with it. Well, they think it's UFO, people from other planets.
You know?
They think it's for people from other planets.
Exactly. For all you know, all graffiti is UFOs, man. It's the same MO, you know. We come in the middle of the night, just, oh, it's up already. So, yeah, you know, I think it should be definitely explored as an idea. Also, just to bring the country together, man. Art has a very simple and easy way to test waters, you know.
So we should have traveling art exhibitions, you think?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, I would have a lot of fun if they could have, like, you know, like a traveling graffiti show. You know, just give some art grant to a bunch of graffiti guys and be like, go from L.A. to Florida. Here's some spray paint. Like, here's this little card that says you can't get arrested. You show it to every cop. I can't get arrested. Thank you.
You have immunity. Artistic immunity.
So selected people that are not going to go out there and chicken scratch and make shit up. You know, they're not going to every town to be like, I'm going to put two murals down here. I'm going to put another mural down here. And then 2 days from then, we're gone. Next place, next place, next place, next place. You know, it would be a great idea, man. I would love to do that if we can.
We'll see what happens with the interview.
Okay.
Well, Marilyn, thank you so much. Now you have to give me a list of some paintings which we can or some where I can put it up.
Email you with
and we'll have to do we'll have to settle on the avatar.
Oh man, of course, man. I mean, due to my art, man, I can't show my face.
You don't want to.
Oh, I don't want to. Well, damn.
Thanks for being
thank
on the
you
show.
Very much, man.
All right.
Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!